Yeah. Y'all hear what it is. We back with another one. Yeah, I hear what it is already. So welcome back to the Shattering Slavitude podcast. This is episode number 61. And Sonya, what's the name of this episode? What are we naming this? What's this workout? This workout is the Young Founders Roundtable. So what you all get is a look behind the curtains at the masters that are leading startup community here in Buffalo, New York. Just a couple of us here to do this. Hopefully it'll grow and get into more. But what we have here is a nice little mastermind powwow setup for you all. As you know, I am your host with the most, Naja Bolden. We got my guy Dave here. Dave from
Arbo.
Arbo.
Yeah, roll the R's.
We got the solid anchor for this podcast at workout. Solid. And we are thrilled to have you. And we got another anchor here. They look like sportscasters over there while we on the outside. Right. So tell us a little bit about you, John. Damn. See? Already. Right. You see what I'm saying? I need a little help with mine. Shit. Right. I actually learned, this is something that I never would have thought about before kicking it with John one time on the porch when we was at Cat Carter's house. Shout out, Cat. And he told me that he knew somebody that was, that their family was connected to the origins of Buffalo. Right. So I was like, damn, I never even thought about that. I never thought about families being here since the beginning of Buffalo. So I thought that was amazing that to even think about that came into my mind, into my world, into my purview. So shout out to that. Seriously, right? Seriously. So, as I mentioned, this is the Shattering Slavitude podcast, and we aim to shatter that paradigm of slavitude thinking, right? That mixture of maybe a cocky American attitude mixed with I don't want to be wrong. You know what I mean? Because we travel a lot, and I know I haven't, and I've been to other places where, people be like, you cocky Americans. You know what I mean? And we kind of relish in it, especially when I was in the military, we kind of relish in it and be like, yeah, that's why we win, all these other things. But it's not that, you know what I'm saying? That actually got into the way of a lot of different things, got into a lot of crime. So what we want to do is set things straight and give some cheat codes for things that how it really is, right? How people actually made it from their starting to what they're doing. So I'm going to let Sonya take it from here, but I just want to be able to chime in because I like to be a fan of the folks that I'm around. So I don't want anybody to be cheating the mics on who they are and what they do, how they got here and all that kind of jazz, because it's everyday people that listen to this and they want to know how they can break out of whatever they're in order to be doing what they want to do. And as Buffalo positions itself as the startup capital of the country, this can be a very difficult or it can be a simpler path. So we definitely want to accelerate things and make things simpler for folks. So with that being said, without further ado, let me fix my voice for who I'm about to pass the mic to. Miss Sonya Terenike. Hey. Always people that celebrate you.
I guess I'll start off that we had this idea. I had this idea
Money on their Mount Vernon. Come on, Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy. Come on. That's that shit. That's that shit. Hello. Hello.
And the next thing I know, they're pitching our idea to the charity department. And they want to run our road talk sessions.
Stealing it. So stealing IP. Bastards. You know? Right. Show you right. Shout out Kai and Janelle.
So that's why I decided, I said, what if we had a young founders group kind of just lean on each other? It's a lonely path, people say that it's not. So that's why
it's not. It's not. It's your perspective, right? Like, I can be by myself and not alone. Right? Just because I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks don't mean that you're not with me. Or if I call you, I can't get with you. You know what I mean? But it can be the matter of perspective, especially when things start to decline a little bit. You be like, I'm only in this with me. Start pulling your hair out and shit, you know? It'd be like that. I had a tantrum 3 weeks ago. I did. I'm a Cancer. I'm sensitive. So I had a tantrum, and it took for my spiritual advisor to hear me, listen to everything I said, and was like, Najee, you're having a tantrum. And I was like, you know, that part of you that just don't want to be wrong, like, man, fuck that. Just listen to me. It's all going to shit. It's all going to hell. And she's like, it's not. It's really not. This is what you need to do in order to grow. Have you done it? No, but you're not. But have you done it? You have it. So get to it. You can solve it. So that's that same kind of thing, right? Like, it's just our matter of perspective. And like we was talking about before the mics got hot, it's the conditioning. So if we condition to see things a certain kind of way, it takes for a different kind of conditioning to come in for you to start to see things as they are. And that's a thorough practice. Can be a little bit scary, and nobody wants that. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. She left out a whole lot. I said, nobody's going to get to cheat. She is, okay, all kind of associations and fellowships. All right, okay. Dave, don't try to cheat my audience, man.
I ain't cheating nothing. So, yeah, so thanks, Sonia. Thanks for sharing. It's been a journey for me. For me, I worked about 10 years in corporate America. With the intent on giving myself the opportunity to pursue entrepreneurship. For me, I wanted to be able to establish some level of financial independence before like taking that leap. So I saved aggressively while I was building up my skill set.
What does saving aggressively look like?
Good question. It was pretty much, you know, I took about like 25% of what I made straight away, put it right into my bank account, linked up with, you know, my longtime girlfriend, Trish. And
shout out, Trish.
We you know, took that same approach, put it into one account, and then we're like, look.
Oh, shit. Y'all real. Y'all serious. Yeah. Okay. 50%.
50%.
Shit.
So we were getting after it. And, you know, we got to the point where we were able to buy a house.
Nice.
Pretty much was like a double.
Congrats.
The intention was to say like.
Congrats, like, man.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. So, yeah, that was a few years ago. And then we were able to kind of buy that. And that gave us the opportunity to offset our living expenses.
Nice. Because now you have some investment cash coming in.
Exactly. So
perfect.
We're building up the equity in the house.
Perfect.
While
perfect.
Also collecting the cash flow, which offsetting, without us having to work, offsetting a portion of our mortgage and all that stuff.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout Airbnb, out. Look at man. Look at Sonya, man. Look at Sonya, man.
Airbnb is the game here, believe it or not.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, most Airbnb definitely. Is. Most definitely. Airbnb is the game, period. Yeah. Toro, everything about just holding on to something and letting somebody else use it as a fee is the game right now. Y'all know somebody who need to rent some mics?
So yeah, I built up that financial capability and just you know, the other thing before I took the leap was I was, you know, at the time I was at M&T Bank and I knew I wanted to get in the startup scene was starting to burgeon a little bit more, maybe back in like 2019. And I reached out to Scott at Kangaroo Time. And I was like, he had this job posting for a fintech product manager.
He was HR over there?
Nah, he's the CEO.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So,
So who's the woman? I thought the woman, she's the founder, but not. Okay, she's the chief. She's
Katie.
Yeah. Katie. Okay.
So just reached out to him out the blue. He was deep into his interviews with candidates, and he had a few. So he just kind of like, I sent him a LinkedIn message. I was like, I'm the guy for you. It's because I had the financial services experience. I worked in fintech payments, all that stuff. So I kind of got it.
And, okay.
I was like, just mind the opportunity. You know, was able to get an interview with the chief people officer at the time. Then got to Bob, who's the CTO, and then Scott. When they gave me the opportunity. So what I told Scott.
I'm telling you.
It seemed like
that's all he know. And he's from here. He's from the North Side. Went to Performing Arts. Went to Buff State. Went to Canisius. Homegrown, and went right into the C-suite.
Nah. So I'll tell you how that happened. So
ain't flipped no burgers fries or nothing.
So when I talked to Scott, I'm like, so I got at the time. I had a really nice cushy job at M&T making. You know, 6 figures, like good job, good money.
Okay.
Benefits, all that. Like, I go to Scott, I'm like, look, I want to understand everything there is to be able to start up a business or start a startup scratch. So I'll take whatever, because the pay cut is a $30,000 pay cut.
Okay.
Like, just give me that. And then he was like, absolutely. So he, you know, I just had to. I just wanted the experience because I knew where I wanted to go next.
There's so much I want to know. Like, how did that happen? Was you top of class? Like, how did it happen? Like, what did you do to end up in like the C-suite party that you're in?
Oh, I worked my way up. So
from the company, entry level?
So I was a product manager at Kangaroo.
Okay.
I told Scott, this is what I want. I'm going to be a founder one day. That's what I told him.
Okay.
And I was like, that's why I'm working here. I want to learn everything I can, and then I'll help your company grow, whatever you ask.
Okay.
I was fortunate enough for him to take that responsibility as a mentor, like, seriously.
Right? Okay.
So the first opportunity he got, he just raised a Series A, which was about $3.5 million. And he raised a $3.5 million Series A round. And at that point, your business starts becoming more mature. Things start getting a little serious. You're typically your first board member. You have to do board presentations, and you have to start keeping track of the metrics of your business.
Right. So
he comes to me with a list of KPIs, and he's like, "Hey, Dave, I'm not keeping track of any of these right now. But you remember when we talked about what it's like to be a founder?" He's like, "Go figure out all of these for me." So
right.
the numbers are all over the place. Right. So I'm looking at, like, at the time it was a little foreign. It was like ARR, MRR, churn, you know, book to build, all these metrics. And I go find them, and I'm finding metrics in the payment processors, the HubSpot, the CRMs, whatever. And then over time, that was my kind of seat at the table for the board presentation, just to be able to read those out. And in the beginning, I was just kind of like, well, this number is going up, this number is going down. Over time, though, I started to be able to, like, comprehend and translate that to understand what that means for the health of the business, and then able to help Scott be able to scale up his business in kind of like a healthy and responsible way.
Damn.
Which I was able to... And then time, really funny story. So, like, Scott's the best guy, man. He just goes like, "Man, you're crushing it. And would you, you know, I want to move in operations." And he's like, "I'm going to go to the board and say, like, hey, look, I want you to be chief operating officer. I want you to be my COO."
That's dope.
Like, I was like, "That's fantastic." And I kind of didn't believe him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I would have felt the same way. I would have felt that same. I'm like, yeah, just holler at me when it get through, when the paperwork done. Just holler at me.
So, you know, he comes back, and, like, I'm like, man, he's not serious. So a couple months pass. Like, I didn't ask, you know, I was just, you know, proud that he even thought of me that way.
Right.
He came back, and he was like, "Look, I pitched to the board, you to be COO.
Shit.
And what ended up happening, he's like, "Look, they agreed to make you vice president of operations. And if you hit these. And I was like, "You know what? That's fine. Don't worry about it."
But still, though, because I'm with David, I would have been like, "Man, yeah, just holler at me. You like me. It's cool. Just holler at me." But you come back with VP of operations. I still landed somewhere. What? Yeah. So what are you going to do now? You're going to push back? You know what I mean?
I was just thrilled. And, like, you know, I was grateful. So
they gave you an incentive to get the position?
Incentive to get the position. So, okay. Like, we just had these metrics we needed to hit.
Right. And, was it difficult for you to do that? Or?
Man, it was a ride.
It was an adventure for you?
Oh, yeah. It was a... I love it so much, I decided to do my own. So,
Me. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, you and your wife, right?
Yeah. Now I got the Arbo with Fabio.
Okay.
And we met at M&T Bank.
Shout out Fabio.
Yeah.
Arbo.
At the time, we vibed on, there was this big initiative called the Unbanked and Underserved. Mm. And, you know, it's funny, some of the output of how to solve for that particular customer segment was kind of, I would say for me, a little underwhelming.
Mm.
Why
would you say it was underwhelming for you?
I think for folks, like, I think the bank just had a hard time being incentivized enough to be able to truly solve for the problems of the
community. So they had all the resources. They had the enthusiasm. They correct. Just didn't yes. have a plan for know-how.
I would say the incentive and the understanding exactly what it means. A lot of times it ended up being free checking accounts and, you know, diversity in a picture or something.
Okay.
You know, for us, we were like, man, there's so many things that we can do. But, I think a startup is a better model to be able to execute those than necessarily a big enterprise.
Right.
So we appreciated that. So we were kind of like, look, this is what M&T can do. And they're going to show up in the community, put money into the community, but they're not necessarily going to be able to bring in, like, unique, fresh ideas. Mm. And that's something we can do outside of the bank.
Mm.
So Fabio and I, while I was getting my dissertation in startup.
Nice. I like that.
you know, we were kind of just doing some work trying to figure out, like, you know, how can we actually help communities that need financial services the most?
Right.
And we came up, you know, we were working nights and weekends, like literally like going through all these different customer segments. We ended up with first generation college students, because we were both first generation college students. Okay. And what we found was that, you know, we both made it, good for us, right? But there's so many of our peers and friends that we've seen that just didn't, ended up not graduating, ended up in a debt cycle, and is just under, you know, not living up to their potential,
right?
Just because of a financial mishap or just not having the right network, what have you. And we were like, that's it. That's what we start with. And then we did a little bit of research and we was like, there's 8 million low-income college students. 80%
We are not in short supply. But that doesn't that sound like an oxymoron, though? That's not alarming to anybody. We have 8 million degree holders that's poverty stricken.
No, there's 8 million in low-income college students that are enrolled each year.
Oh, that are enrolled. Okay, copy that. 80%. Copy that. I thought that was like you. I thought that was the other way around. Pardon me.
Yeah, 80% fall out. 80% drop out. And okay. They drop out with debt that they can't afford and without degree to completion.
I see that live.
So then
you see that live.
Then it creates this situation where people are stuck in their situation. They're not able to, you know, socially and economically move up.
Right.
And that's really like, that's really what financial services is for. Mm. Like, why, you know, financial services right now is really working for people who have money or who have wealth. But
facts.
Why can't we go back into the community and create, you know, create wealth and create that economic mobility that this country is really all about?
Facts. Facts. Facts.
So that's kind of where we kind of were like, there's a different way we can do this. So that's where we ended up with Arable. And our secret sauce is finance and community. So we work with the college students out of each semester to understand, one, we check in on your tuition versus like your loan balance versus your scholarships and grants.
Okay.
And connect them to more opportunities to increase their coverage of their tuition driven by scholarships and grants so they can graduate with less debt. More importantly, though, we work with them on their life expenses.
Mm.
And we get them to understand every semester how much they need for books, supplies, laptops, food, you know, it could be childcare for some folks, transportation, all that stuff that's a whirlwind. Yeah, whatever it is.
For real.
And a lot of...
For real. For real.
Exactly. So... So we helped them to get that reined in and be like, this is how much I need. And... just having that knowledge is, you know, an anxiety killer, or gets rid of anxiety. Because, like,
damn right,
understand. Okay, now you can have a plan for how do I cover that. We then pair that with a micro grant to alleviate some of that financial burden for the student.
So we get some money too.
Get some money too.
Get some of that shmoney. Hey, what? Wow.
And then we teach the students how to manage that money responsibly and make sure that's going towards, you know, the food, the books, whatever they need to have each semester.
Blowing that cash. I'm getting me a zip car and I'm taking my homie shopping. Let's get it.
So progressively.
Don't do that. Do not do that. Right.
And that's what it's all about. And that, like, over time, as you get more financially capable, we progressively upgrade you to different financial products. So we help you to establish a
right,
and we give you that knowledge that you need, like Jay-Z trying to spit back, you know, like that's that's the type of stuff that we're trying to have you in a position to be able to say, okay, now let's establish a savings so I can cover a $500 unexpected expense. Oh, I can do that now? Let's connect you to employers so then you can go ahead and get a job, a higher paying job faster.
Yeah, they already gave this away, right? They gave away money and all that, right? So y'all ain't trying to do this.
Oh, we are. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you say that's what we're trying to do. That's what y'all doing. It's already disrupted.
So yeah, and then as you get farther along, we get you to the point where we're able to continue to advise you financially and then give you financial products that work for you in your current situation. Help build your credit score.
So you
take a look at all the good work that you've done and understand Sonia's really not that risky. We can give you lending for a lower interest rate.
You mean I get a Jedi master to teach me straight up?
You get folks to teach you, and you straight also get up? Access to financial products that are better suited to you and that take into consideration all of your hard work as a student and your reliability as a student.
What? Yeah, what?
We'll take care of those though. But yeah, and that's kind of our big vision. So like over time, our big vision is to be able to uplift all communities, starting with low-income students, getting all the way to, you know, man, pretty much staying with the student all the way until they become a young professional and start their own families. And that's kind of that's a big thing. So bringing banking back to its roots is what we're looking for.
It is. I just wanted to say one thing. I really like the nature of the beast of what they're doing with our board, because it's proactive, right? We have trillions of dollars in debt from student loan debt, mines included. Something
growing.
Yeah, right. I got some paperwork in the mail saying that if you public service for 10 years, I'm like, does being an adjunct lecturer count? So that, yeah, I'm about to whizipe my missile. But I do like that's proactive in the nature of not only being a resource and supportive of the scholar, but at the same time showing them how to fish and be financially independent, being economic, providential, really, right? And that's agency, right? To be able to do that.
100%.
Yeah. You serious? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Now I gotta you see now I got something brand new to think about. Now I gotta make sure I fill that waiver out, man. So
family connections, because we could keep talking about finances all night. I can do that.
Yeah. I heard that too. I start looking around like, yo, what did I do?
So one thing I'll wrap up from, you know, I think we got
before John starts
into the business and all that, but you know, one message I'd give to folks out there is you know, if you want to go do something, you know, tell people that you want to do it.
Yeah,
because it's funny how people can unlock opportunities for you just by you having the courage to be able to say this is
what. You mean don't be afraid of people stealing my IP?
Nah, don't be afraid of people stealing your IP, or don't feel naked about having like
get vulnerable. Yeah,
trying to do what you do. Because like if I would have never,
yeah,
if I would have never told Scott what I wanted to do, he wouldn't have even thought to be able to put me in some of the positions or give me some of the opportunities that he was able to give to me. So I'm endlessly grateful for that. But two, it's just funny. Just say what you want. And it's funny how like the universe kind of conspires to make it happen for you. Yeah.
100%. Right. Right.
We're talking about family now.
When you innovate, it comes with new tricks. Got to put them to use. Come on. Come on. Okay. Mm. Like the same as like Kenesha High School and College?
Yeah.
Okay.
But really, it's part of an overall organization called Collegiate Student Organization.
Okay.
And all the time, her and I would go back and forth in her office, and she would let me. And she would let me assume that I would break for a little bit until like we sat in her office. And then we would debate. And then by the end of it, I'd usually assume that she was correct because most of the time she was. But at the same time, it made all the difference with knowing what my passion was.
Mm.
She would end conversations being like, and that's what you need to bring.
Come on.
And it was the most incredible thing that anyone's ever done. And I have now found myself mentors that do that for me now. Because unfortunately, due to COVID, she had to go back to South Korea. So she's
stuff there. Shout out South Korea. John is connected, man.
That baby shark was actually animated by her nephew's company.
Okay.
What?
So,
like, wow.
She's working on that. She's working on a bunch of young founder stuff in Korea. She's a teacher there.
You are an alumni of Canisius too?
Yeah,
college. And you're an alumni of Canisius.
Yeah.
No Buff State for you though. No. Buff State for you.
Buff State
for me. We got to shout out Buff State. So we got to shout out Canisius. Got to shout out UB. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Arbor.
We need to get you recorded saying that from some of our material. You can intro some of our marketing material.
I get mistaken for Dominican all the time. Right. It was somewhere, right? Man,
double major and a minor, but yes.
Damn.
So
173,000 credits. Quad Gear. I'm trying to figure out what am I doing wrong.
I did a lot of stuff like that. In high school, I even started building up my resume by becoming director of lighting operations for Williamsville School District in Rankin, Minnesota.
Lights never shine brighter.
What kind of milk and shit was they buying you when you was a little kid? What was going on? Like, wait, what, like?
I knew I had to. I went after a lot of stuff and had the support. I mean, a lot of this was because
the support that you had. But you also listen though. Like I work with a lot of youth, right? And they are exposed to a lot of support and resources. But agency and like a person being aware of their agency is a big factor. So what that lets me know is you were aware of what you had very early on and was like, I'm willing to swap this for the value of early.
And on top of that, I was willing to take opportunities with no boundaries. So people would come to me, something would sound fascinating, and I would do it. And if I failed, I would
instead of being like, oh, yo, I'm scared of this, like, no, I don't know how to do that.
I do, and when I say this, it sounds very frivolous, but it's not in that context. I do what appeals to me.
Right. And right. That don't sound frivolous to me.
I go after it. And that's the one thing that
tell parents.
Well, it's been a long time since I had to do that. You know what I mean? But
and that I'm not that qualified, and how could we do this? Or the fact, the one thing that I always hear is none of that counted because it was before you graduated college.
Yeah, I'll be getting that sometime.
But I work full time.
There's no way you work with NASA.
So to me, that was, I did it, I got the experience, and got very good at lean processing to the point where I started helping organizations to create a bring that to like their own.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into the job world, the first thing that I usually heard was I would get to the first interview, then they'd realize how young I was, and then they would drop out. Or I would get to the third interview, and when I would hear back, they'd be in like the upper management. They
shit.
Didn't have enough experience. But I would get all the way to the third level.
Okay.
And they would be like, yes, you're exactly who I want. And they'd be like, great. And I'd get there, and then all of a sudden their response to me was, no, you're not right.
Whoa.
So I literally just spent a year and a half. And I have titles on there such as CD, such as, you know, CEO, things that I've done and really progressed on throughout my entire career. But they count. None of it did. So it's very hard as an entrepreneur, too, because another thing that I always heard back is the fact you have your own business.
I feel like that's a cop out.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The hiring process is interesting. I think from my perspective, sometimes, you know, networks matter, right? And I
oh yeah. We failed to mention that we have the future gubernatorial. In the future, congressman, presidential candidate. So y'all heard it here first.
I think a lot of times, you know, people get out of habits of hiring people within their networks, and it's funny when standards kind of shift. If I know you versus I don't. So I know you, so I know how talented you are.
Okay.
I don't need to understand much more. I can put you in pretty much any role and just have to trust that you're going to figure it out. Sometimes we get too obsessed with having the qualifications for a job instead of opening the doors for me to get into the job.
Yeah.
Because you clearly had like
the social capital.
Yeah. And it's both, right?
But, yeah.
You know, I'd say that's one thing that we got to figure out. And one other thing I'll say on it is when you come from certain communities, you don't have that social capital.
Yeah. Most definitely.
So you're kind of.
You don't have navigational. You don't even know that that's a possible thing to do is have somebody vouch for you.
Yeah. When I was doing I was just applying for you know, jobs in the job portal when I was coming out of college, just tossing it out there. And it's funny because like, you know, it worked out and I've got good at interviewing and such, and you know, but the first person that gave me the opportunity was someone that was a Canisius alumnus, and like that I was a Canisius alumnus.
That's what's up.
That's
it. I hear that that's a strong network in the town.
It is.
Yeah, I hear.
I should say, Miss Sonia over here at the AKA says, hey, this person this role, I think you would be good at it. And went to him, and he was a mentor of mine who then liked me for that and moved me on to the next interview, and eventually I got the job. But like, it was all connections. I mean, he never even posted the job. It was, so I heard about it, came to me, and then when I went to interviews.
That's the big dog right here. That's the big dog.
I would challenge the individuals that are job seekers to spend time getting your resume right, building your street cred, and building your, you know, whatever your skill set is. Also take that time to network and meet people, especially from diverse backgrounds. So then you can get exposed to all the talent that's out there, or a diverse set of talent, and then the people who are the employers.
I want to build an executive resume, or do I want to build a resume?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just got done with that job search, so I have
24
different resumes.
Wow, shit, damn. I was not ready for that.
That were tailored to different opportunities.
The thing is, like, my resume spans from theater. I was millennial outreach coordinator, and I was like, you know, acting chief staff for a little bit, to a nursing setting campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at Senator Gillibrand's office. So I did that stuff, and that was political. That was politics, and I was qualified for that stuff.
Sure.
Then I did stuff through theater, and then I did stuff through business, and then I had my own business. So at all these jobs, so I have 24 different resumes, to part-time jobs all the way up to executive level regional director type roles.
Shit.
All the way through. So I think that's a big thing, but also another thing is, don't be afraid to reach out to people.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know them, even if you can just reach out.
That's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing to do, is to just reach out with people.
Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
Now I know half of what we're doing. Right. But I got a good tax write-off, and this ain't my last rodeo.
And now the next time you go get the job, it'll probably be easier too.
Right. Because they know. Come on now. Can you expound on that, please? Yeah, you got to give us some more of that. You can't just leave that like that. Damn, that's real shit, though. Because we credentialize. Yeah, and we credentialize. Right.
So understanding the power
dynamic,
that's the key thing that when I was younger, I'm still young.
That's right.
But
damn right.
Younger, I didn't realize I had that power. And it was always there.
I can never imagine you without. I can't. I'm dead serious. I just cannot imagine Sonya ever without agency. I can't. Well, that's what happened with David, right? Yeah.
One of my best mentors, she was an entrepreneurship teacher of mine in high school that I kept in touch with. She's the one that looked at me and goes, absolutely not, what are you doing? I mean, when I say it's all in love, like it's not like she's going after me, it's not like she's coming up, but she was the one that I could say taught me that in an interview, you can walk out of the interview. And I've done it because I didn't like the job. The new reason, I think. He was the one that taught me, know your work. And the reason I think why my job search took so long was because I wanted a certain type of job that I knew that I could get behind, and that was my work. Now, I also know Miss Sonia's looking at me because she also pumps me up because I don't do that very often. So I guess I'm some of y'all, but I also know that that is where this whole thing comes from, is the idea that I have mentors in my dad's pocket that sit there and they're just like, I don't think you're realizing you're giving yourself enough credit or you're giving yourself too much. And it took me, 10 years to find those mentors. It wasn't an easy step, and they were people that I kept in contact with to make sure that I had. A lot of them came from my business because I wanted to put it together in an advisory board where each mentor had a different task, that a different skill set, I should say, that I didn't. So then those people became mentors. And then I could call them for whatever I needed. And then eventually a few of them fell away, and now I have my 4 or 5 that I call whenever I need. So it's not easy. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of coffee money, and a lot of...
Yeah. So you said something that I thought was really, really interesting, right? Where you said you think that you either got it or you don't have it, right? Like you either think about it too much or you don't think about it enough. And the first thing that popped in my mind was inferiority complex and the superiority complex, and the quickest way to get over that is to have a mirror, and a mentor I think can serve as a really good mirror for you to understand who you are, right? Because in a lot of these positions we do, like we were just talking about, we credentialize, so you start to think that you're lesser than, right? Then you need somebody to hold up the mirror and be like, what, you lesser than? Are you kidding me? Look what you were doing. Or if you're thinking too big about it, this is actually somebody that you trust that can be like, yo, I just pump your brakes a little bit. Just think about this. I think we can think about this a little more. I think that's the most amazing thing about having a mentor, right? Just to be, to have that genuine relationship where you know you can trust them. Kirigato. Shout out to Better Together. Shout out Better Together. Yeah, we some founders in there. My guy, Richard Kim, Quintessence Aunt. You know what I mean? Greg Cherry, my fault. I like to say feedback, because a lot of people like to get into the criticism role cynically. You know what I mean? And think that you need this in order to struggle to get what you're going to get. So I like to say feedback. Yeah, I like to say feedback. Just give me some feedback on what's going on here. Right. What status was it? What'd you say?
That was their Series A.
Series A.
They just raised a $26.7 million Series B, yeah. No, it goes infinitely into
you can get IPO, as much money. How much did y'all raise? You got to slide the questions in right here just so you can get that number. That's what's up. Okay. Shout out. Okay. Okay.
My family's not like that. I can't keep going back for them to keep giving $1,000. So,
when you start, just tap your network.
Yes.
And you can get 10, sometimes 200,000.
Yeah. See, my situation was vastly different. I got my confidence to do this through my department, the creativity department. They started an apprenticeship for me because of my hunger and my talent in doing it. Yeah, for me, because I was hungry. I wanted to, yo, listen, how y'all doing this? How y'all getting money, man? How you getting $13,000 a day? I want to know how you did that. You know what I'm saying? Right, for kitten herding people around, scientists, other scientists around, to be like, yo, come on, guys, let's, you know, we're going to do this now. We're going to break out and we're going to get this and we're going to go back to plenary. So like that, I had to work my way up through those associations, and I got with shout out No Innovation, where I was able to get on super big projects with like NASA and shit like that, and that shit started to help build me up here locally. And then I'm networking and stuff like that, but I'm still only doing this off of association checks and adjunct checks. Still the same thing, right? So people know me and know what I do, but I've never been even considered. Yeah, no, this is it. This is it. This is it. It ain't simple though. Right. So we need to, this is who we need to be listening to.
So what was the question again?
How do we get access?
How do you get access to funding, or how do you get access to money? Good question.
Mucho.
You know, if you start, there's a few different ways to do this. I'd say where I would start, if I had a business, just an idea, I have any network or anyone like that, I think the first thing to do is socialize your idea. Get some feedback from folks who maybe are in the industry that you want to be in. So I think back to what I did personally. You know, I knew I wanted to be in startup and I needed to understand how that worked. So you know, there's community. I mean, it's pretty visible out here. A few Google searches, you can probably find who's in it. Go attend a Buffalo Open Coffee Club if they're having those again, or identify some of these pitch-in events, or find they have a bunch. Yeah, I would just find people within the scene and just pitch them on some of the ideas, and they'll give you feedback. Nah, I'd go right to people. Well,
should we go back to school to Canisius?
No, I'd go. Like,
I'd go where, all right. Get that network. Let's get network, man. Let me
back up a little bit more. If you want to go hoop, go to the basketball courts.
True.
Simple as that.
True.
That's how it works, right?
True.
So go to where the scene is. Okay. So it's not crazy. Like, you can go find the people that are participating. There's LinkedIn, there's Google, whatever.
Right. Well, that's what you need.
And you go. And just go hang out there for a little bit. Pitch some folks. Like grab. I don't care, Jack Greco or anybody that any of us and or any of these. Like, these guys are more.
Oh yeah, no, he walked in. Oh.
But any of these folks.
Jack and I have known each other for a few years because how I met him was at Startup Week back in 2019, how I built this for ACB Auctions. And I was there for the Western Prosperity Fellowship. So I had no idea who he was. I get into an elevator with him, and I see ACB on his fund deck. And I'm like, oh, like, it must be so cool for you to go to the How I Built This so you can see how ACB works. I didn't mean to. I died, I think. And then we ended up going to the top and, like, talking. He did. It, like... Yeah, he did. He was just like, yeah, I was there for that.
As he got off the elevator,
by the way. But then he invited me up for a drink with the rest of the business leaders in there, and we all, like, talked about that stuff. But, like, that's how Jack and I met. So Jack and I will see each other randomly. Just, like, we're not that kind of a connection where, like, I could definitely reach out to him, but, like, that's about it. And like, I'll just see the most random moments. One of my part-time jobs is just with a food preparation company. And he walks in, he's like, "Hey, I know you, John." I'm like, "Yes, hi."
Worst person to be known by.
Yeah. Why did you have to come in here? This is just.
But he's a great guy. He's like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know what I mean?
And most of the people are. Like, most of the people will give you a time of day. So just go hang out in the scene and just make some friends and pitch to them. And then just say, get their feedback, come back, and demonstrate that you can execute on the feedback that was given. And you're going to get supporters that way.
It doesn't matter
if it works or not.
I must admit, though, Dave,
yeah,
I'm a little bit disgruntled.
Why is that?
I spent a lot of time on the scene, and I ain't never really get none of that. Like, I pitched with a lot of different people, and I never got another phone call back, so it left me jaded. You know what I mean? So that made me go further into what I knew how to do. And then George Floyd happened. And right before George Floyd happened, I had a couple conversations with folks from the startup community. And I'm like, yeah, what do I need to be doing differently? You know what I'm saying? And this and that, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of folks gave me advice from their perspective, right? Like, you know, I don't really know what's going on, what you're doing, da, 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 right? So then once George Floyd happened, I got, you know, the text messages come out. Oh, my God, Najee, how are you feeling? Like, you know, what can I do? And blah, 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 blah. And a couple of those people, I was like, you know, well, you know, just don't do what you did last week. What do you mean by that? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, I came to you, and I'm like, yo, I need business. And you know what I mean? You basically gave me an interview.
Ah, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No referral, right? So then Jack was one of those people that was like, yo, you know what? I'm on top of that. Don't worry about it. And referred me to a couple of people right off the rip. Mm-hmm. And one of those persons, I still have a great relationship to this day. Shout out Siobhan Smith, Catapult Consultant. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what do you say to that?
Talk to the next person, and then talk to the next person.
I figured you was going
to
say it was a numbers game.
The next person.
That's usually what it is, right? Because, like, even with marketing, it's a numbers game. Like, so eventually somebody's going to be like.
Yeah, and we got to push through.
Big facts.
And that's kind big of, facts. You know, one thing we have to be honest about is, you know, it's very much a game that is foreign. There's cultural chasm between,
without a doubt,
like
without a doubt,
people of color, minorities, and tech, and
yeah, without
big,
a doubt,
big cultural chasm, and you know, I would say, unfortunately, that frames how people react to or how willing people are necessarily. It goes back to like why I would hire, or why some people are willing to hire people versus others. Yeah, that goes back to how people just don't understand each other, and that's what it comes down to. And at the end of the day, a lot of these things are reference points.
What you mean by reference points?
Well, if I don't talk to people outside of my own tribe or people outside of my own own little circle or clique,
right,
or just out of my own culture,
yeah,
I have expectations on what life is. I don't have a reference point to what anything else is.
Most
of it's possible. Yeah.
Shout out E for Wrong, Jew area, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mentors are usually corporate. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one person, he's cooking out of his church, he's facing the kitchen. And one of his mentors is the vice president of a large bank here in Western New York. He's been here for over 40-plus years, has never been on his staff.
Mm-hmm.
Some would ask, well, why not? And you ask, is, well, I don't know anyone there, and I don't really feel comfortable or safe there.
Mm-hmm.
willing to go there as long as you're there to meet. So that was his first time in 40 plus years when he felt comfortable enough just to go to a church on Kensington.
In his city.
So that's what you're talking about. They would have never crossed paths if we didn't pair them up in that program.
It worked. Right. Right.
And now
right.
he has a different and right. he has a different perspective.
And now he's going back to his golf yes. courses. Y'all need to come down on the Kensington.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get a better understanding of just the different places that talent can come from. And maybe just how they look a little bit different or can act a little different than what you expect.
So you mean kind of behave like a convener. Behave like you like a United Way, but like without that kind, without those kind of resources. Is that what you're saying?
If I'm the person that's seeking to enter the space, I would say behave like someone who's in a new country.
Mm.
See how people are walking.
That's so. Yeah. I only been to Canada and Mexico, man. What are you talking about?
So you got.
I'm just joking. Yeah, that's not me.
But I would say, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a language. Mm. There's.
Well,
I would say before you're entering, understand how people are moving, how things get done, how decisions get made. Observe a little bit. Because then you can go ahead and speak that language, so you're getting better results.
That's still
now. Unfortunately, that goes back to like you taking your own agency and not just expecting people to always meet you where you
without
are.
Without a
unfortunately
doubt.
For us, we don't have that luxury. People aren't always without meeting us where we are.
Right.
But you can figure out, hey, this is how this game is played over here. This is how people are talking and how people are moving. Then you figure out how to speak that language. Then you got your entry point.
I gotta be honest. I'm still learning that language, right? Like,
100%.
You think we all speak the Queen's English until you learn. Once you get outside your culture, once you get outside your culture, you start realizing that subtle things don't mean what they meant.
100. Yes. I'll give you a bunch of translations that are like real safe.
Okay.
When you're going in fundraising, for instance,
yeah.
let's say I just as any startup, this has nothing to do.
That
with
was
like
a great question.
Like that. So like, there's a whole lexicon.
Yeah.
One example, if a nice way to say if a investor is interested in investing in you, they'll say, "Oh, you're just a little too early for us." That means we're not interested in a nice way. That's an example. Or if they're interested, hey, you know, we want to dig in a little bit more. And they always say like dig in because they want to dig into like the data or whatever. That's usually a good signal.
Mm.
Like, but they're saying stuff without saying stuff to you. That's an example. Or recently, or you see like a lot of times in, you know, in corporate America, for instance, people get fired. You know they got fired, but they didn't necessarily say that they got fired.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Bob's retiring. You're like, yeah. Bob got fired. Bob's been around for 25 years. They brought in some.
They gave Bob an option, man.
So,
hey, Bobby.
So there's all these different.
Y'all at you.
There's all these different things that stuff means in different contexts, and you've got to learn what stuff means in different contexts. Right,
like, right,
and that's when you learn how to speak the language, you'll be able to better interact and get outcomes that you want. Once you're in, then you can change the game a little bit. Like, you know, you can add a little flavor, adobo, sazon to it. But like,
that's
what it is.
Yeah, adobo. That's my go-to choice right there.
But that's what it is, because you're in a different country and you know. Understand
you gotta do as they do.
Yeah, and then shift it. Then
yeah.
You start saying
once you get your cloak.
Yeah, you don't just go into someone's house and just start redecorating the
what
place
the fuck?
Right away.
Yeah,
right?
You know how we do it. Yeah,
you
kicking shit over. You kicking stuff over. This is why we're here. Cool.
No, this is a two-way street, though, because let me not take the other people off, though, because the other folks need to consider, how do you welcome people into your house or guests in your house?
I think that's a paradigm that's so hard to shatter on the other side. You know what I'm saying? What?
Yeah, that was awful. But like, same reference. Some people are truly rude to people. they understanding what a good host actually is. It's my version. So I think that's also a huge barrier. People don't.
Or they invite you over and they don't like the host.
Yeah,
me over here, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's some jobs that I've had that I am like, what are you guys doing? Like, this isn't professional. Like, there's a certain aspect to it. But to them, that was very professional. And that's where, you know, even then I had to kind of learn. But I love your example of kind of treating it as you're in a new country.
Yeah.
And taking those opportunities, and rolling it back to what I said, take all those opportunities while you're in that country to observe, learn, and grow, because honestly, that's how you're going to experience things and know how to do things either better or the same. Because a lot of what I learned, especially after college, I copied.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's incredible. And I mean, even now, I'm the type of person that did not enter the city until I went to Phoenix. Like, I stayed 90% of my life in the suburbs and then we went other places. Like, I didn't know what Magic Street was when I entered.
I took John out to dinner on
the Agri Street. Stop. And I literally looked at him and go, where am I right now?
I was walking for the sirens and cops and down the street, and that goes like,
yeah. Right.
And John started looking over his shoulder like,
well, that's going on. Because that's not, you know, that's
what. And what did your mom tell you?
Well, I told her, I was like, okay, I'm going there for tonight. She goes, oh, that's such an awful area. Why would you ever go there? I mean, that's what my entire neighborhood says, though.
Right.
Because to us, that's what it is.
But we say the same thing about the suburbs.
I'm sure.
Why would you ever go there? I feel like we entitled. Yeah, we entitled when we get to. Yeah, yeah. What? You don't have anybody? You don't have anybody here that speaks English? Yeah. Well, they say I don't feel comfortable spending my money here if you don't got nobody that can accommodate me. Mm-hmm. Really? On Ethiopian soil. When you talking
Esther thing,
when you talking to money, you can.
Well, you definitely learn the language. I definitely that's the case for sure.
You speaking of money, you conform to the money.
Yeah, you figure.
See, that's what makes me, you know, live in my dreams, like where I'm already so big, and I'm like, oh, you don't want this contract? Perfectly fine, it's fine with me. You go ahead and be Blockbuster. Perfectly fine with me.
That's it. But I would definitely say, to bring it all the way back to your point, just get into the scene and integrate and develop your network that way. And don't just wait till you, and incubate your idea. Once it's time
most
you
definitely.
Get the idea that you need to go raise money, you should have hopefully have developed a network of other founders that can, and potentially investors down the road that can introduce you to investors. And that's kind of what you need.
Right.
But get into that community. Learn people who've learn from the people, or develop a network of people who've raised money before. Mm-hmm. They're the people that can give you those warm intros into the people that will actually take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, for real.
And then you need somebody like David to kind of temper me and say, wait a minute, hold on, just play it.
Yeah.
That's facts.
That's why you need that co-founder, because like a lot of people will look at you and be like, no, stop. And that's not how you do it. You're just like, you're very much correct, but let me translate what you just said. There's a difference in between saying something like that. So you've got to find the right people around you that can help you get to there in the way that they know that you want to get there. Because there's a lot of people that want, that would have liked me to get someplace their way, that would have liked to do that, and it was not. I wouldn't have survived that.
So you telling me as an introvert, I need to have a team?
I don't think you need to have a team, but you do need to have a support system.
Mm.
And I think the support system can be your team. Yes, I agree with that, but I don't think that you need a team specifically to accomplish your goals. But I do think that no one can do it solely as well.
Right, right. What's the proverb? You want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. Right, but well, we ambiverts, right? Because we have I'm an ambivert. I had to learn how to be because founder and principal, I'm the only one that's doing everything, right? So I had to.
I'm extroverted for sure.
Yeah, we too slow for David. David, let's go. We too. I can already tell. Yeah. I need my shutdown time.
Yeah.
I gotta get to that build. I need to be able to reflect, meditate, get some sleep, get up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't keep beating it like that. I get sick. Oh man, you can't give us none of them juicy, salacious stories.
I think that it's sometimes it's hard because even though I am omnivorous, so I do have great extroverted qualities that I can go out and do that work at 9 PM and I'm like, yeah, so let's go. But then if I don't have time to just to myself to recharge, you know, even if it's 2 days, 3 days later, I am miserable to be around.
So you don't never need to recharge, huh, Dave?
That's not true. I would say I get my energy from people.
So okay.
Being around people, that's my battery.
Okay.
I would say I do need time to be able to think. Like for me, I'm kind of like just my general approach is I'll take time to reflect. And I do need some time alone just to be able to figure out like what's the game plan. But once I have the game plan figured out, it's like, let's go.
Right.
Like, and I'll be in that mode for quite some time until it's time to reset again.
Nice. I can't lie. I am a big fan of some extroverts like that just can work it. You know what I mean? Like my homie that was on the last podcast, Dr. Tamara McMillan, she could just work that shit. Like, she could just work that shit, dude. Like, I don't even know. And I'm a fan of it. So, like, when you're saying you should have seen him at Soho, I'm thinking, like, oh, man. Like, I wish I could have seen that because I just like to look at it and then be like, yo, I need to graft that kind of energy for, like, my team.
But I also think that goes back to team, right? So, this is interesting. I think we think too much about weaknesses sometimes as people.
Most definitely.
Not necessarily as strengths.
Most definitely.
And understanding that within yourself, so I'm a little bit more introverted. I need more time to process information, or I need more time to take a break and reflect or recharge.
Yeah.
Understanding that about yourself and then communicating that to other people is important. And vice versa.
Self-advocacy.
So then we're able to be able to work with each other better and then also try to understand how we can better work with each other and how we're inputs into like the greater goal that we're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we all bring something to the table. So for instance, like if I'm talking with Sonia, something that will happen a lot is I'm a big picture thinker. So like, you know, she starts ripping details and I'm just like, all right. I understand.
I know how she can go too.
But
yeah.
I understand. So what's important to understand about that, right? Like, okay, I might miss something. And that's important for me to respect that ship she brings to the table, not be annoyed by that. But then she needs to understand he's going to see the big picture. So he's not going to get caught up in the weeds. You understand that? That's a dangerous team, and respect that about each other. And then you can leverage that skill set. But a lot of people sometimes. They're still there.
So are you saying like it is good to not just toss your assessment paperwork aside, like DISC assessment, MBTI, Foresight, things like that, because that helps to understand what position you play on a team that you're on, or
understand yourself and understand others and identify in others, you know, to Advil, not the bottle. So, you know, it also doesn't mean because you're an introvert.
It flew over my head. I just heard two Advil out the bottle. What does that
not
mean?
The bottle, not, oh, two Advil, but not the bottle. So what I mean is, directionally, it doesn't necessarily define who you are. Just because you're maybe you have a preference for introversion doesn't mean that you're not a person who can go and mingle and socialize, right?
Two shots, but not the bottom.
Yeah. So, but it just means that maybe you just it just means that you just need some time to recharge, right? So, just understand that and understand it with about people. That just gives you a little bit of better playbook to be able to understand how we can work together, and now you can manage yourself, to be honest.
And it's really a numbers game, right? It's really just laying yourself on the gate, going out there, putting yourself out there, doing the thing, and figuring out what you need to tune or attune from being out there.
It's simple. Like sometimes I'm a decent writer. I like to think I'm a decent writer, but if I'm writing too much, I'm behind the computer too much, my energy is getting drained. So,
yeah.
You know, I might get into a bad mood or be a little bit more lethargic. I know about myself now as a
you know, you have low energy in the space.
Okay, let me go for a walk. Let me do something. Yeah.
Let me get a refresher. Yeah.
Now I'm back going.
Yeah.
But I know that about myself now.
Yes.
So when you know that about yourself, you can kind of manage your own thing. So,
but that's a hell of a lot of mindfulness. Who's keeping score like that on an average everyday basis?
We all should.
You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of awareness.
That's checking in on yourself.
And I think most definitely. Kind of like a big thing. That's a great strategy.
Like I had a business partner that unfortunately that we parted ways with something because he didn't get the way I worked and I didn't get the way he worked, and yet he was on from the beginning. And that was my mistake. It's not fully grasping the idea that certain things we've got to hang on, and he didn't get the fact that I'm a bigger picture person that can be detail oriented, but I don't focus on. So I think that it's important to try and figure out what I'm doing. And how they work.
Most definitely.
Or that aspect of just learning yourself and learning who you are and being able to adjust. All the time, I think they tell you, being like, I think I'm projecting, honestly. I don't think this is what's happening. It's important. It's how you create a successful business.
We call that in our framework is right bus, right seat, right direction. So we have a way to work right bus, right seat, right direction. So we make sure we that opens up into a lot of other things, but we make sure we're doing just what you mentioned, you know, that your values, your goals align with what our mission and our values are here versus you just work here to get your paycheck. You know what I'm saying?
I like to ask myself when I'm talking to people, that's serious. I'm trying to figure out like, what do they do better than anyone else? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, everyone does something better
that they have some talent.
They got it.
That was my next question. You seem to spot talent quick. So what's going on?
I'll roll with it. You know, Sonia is really good at being able to understand, like I said, the details. So she, when we're engaging, she keeps on asking me questions about like, well, what about this detail, this detail, this detail? That tells me if I've got a plan that maybe or a direction or strategy that needs to be executed against, I can hand that to Sonia and she can fill out the details and make sure it happens. And she's got the motor to make sure that she can get something done.
Damn right.
I just met you a moment ago. But but one thing, you don't have to
size me up and be like, thing. Yo, you're too small right now, man. What do you say to startups? Say you say you're still too early. You're still too early.
But one thing I'm starting to derive at least is a level of like creativity. Someone who can process a lot of information. Like even how you've been engaging with us in this conversation has been kind of like parrying off of that's interesting and then synthesizing that into something that means something. And Thank finding you. Meaning out of things that maybe that other people can't see, or maybe connecting dots that other people can't see. That's mm-hmm. That's what I've seen from this conversation so far.
You got me right.
All right.
You definitely got me paid.
So that tells me if I'm going to hire for a position, I might consider you for something more complex, more big picture or abstract, or something that we need to kind of like, you know, what's the game, or maybe we gotta like ideate and figure out a unique value proposition or unique idea, and maybe that was, we can go vibe out and figure it out.
That's crazy. And then when that I was my that, DISC assessment, give him a big project and let him go find a team and let him
and
do
then
it.
When me and you come back, we'll go to Sonia and Sonia make it happen.
Sonia will definitely hit
Jonathan,
go.
Jonathan, I don't know Jonathan very well either, but what I get from him so far is that he tends to understand kind of like what I'm perceiving, so I might not be perfect, but like feeling, like you kind of get the vibe of the room and understand how people vibe emotionally. That's kind of what I get from you. And you might be someone.
Did you see the blink?
So it might be someone say. That like, for instance, like a black
Now we can see why he getting millions, right? He size people up in minutes.
So, you know, what I might put Jonathan in front of is like, you know, I might have him be an eye for culture or just an eye for kind of team dynamics. And he might have the eye to be like, there's something going on over here that that maybe I can't pick up on because I think.
Yo, we got Dave as a whole new stream of income. This is the new party trick, sizing people up. Everybody get in line. Arbo has a new arm.
So long story short, you can find that with any person. If you just ask yourself, what does this person bring to the table? You can then find value in whatever job that you have. And that's a way to be able to get over, I know that person, so maybe it's a little bit less risky. It's like, no, I can identify that this person is gonna bring this special ingredient to my business, regardless of the job title, what have you. And then we can break down color barriers, all that stuff, because you're asking yourself what they have instead of what they don't have. And that's a big thing for me, at least.
Based in merit.
Yeah,
it's just based in merit. Like this person's, I see they skill, I see they hustle. Come on over here. I think you'd be a great fit for this, right? And that's the Puff Daddy ingredient, right? Yeah. Like just being able to be a sweet super producer. I know how to make shit happen. I'm just gonna cheat and give him a superhero name from the encyclopedia in my head. Just go like that. Because it's like, well, what do you, like, yeah. Yeah. You did damn right.
You put together four people that are always the people that command the room, and yet you still command the room. All four of us are people that once you walk in the room, you know we're there. And yet you were the one that overtopped all of us. Which is not a bad thing. Very much so.
I would have to agree. I would have to concur. I would have to concur. Most definitely. But I you know, I wouldn't be able. To sum it up. I would go culturally. You know, you bossed up all the way, highest level, beyond bossed up. He's an investor. You know what I mean? Like, the goal is to be bossed up most of the time. But then I'm like, what's after bossed up? The investor. You know what I'm saying? I got Skybox tickets. I know all those people. Are you talking about Rick? Rick from over there? From Costanzo's Bakeros, the owner? Oh, that's me. Yeah, I know him. That's my man. He was at the cookout last week. He brought fresh buns. You know, that's the kind of guy I see, you know, Dave as. It's like, hey, come to my house. You know what I mean? Silk Versace shirt. Come on over. You know, everybody come over. We got sangria homemade. You know, we got, convener.
Come on in.
A convener. You know, he's perfect way. One man, united way. We're not going to give them that credit. We're going to call him United Day. or Dave's Way. Dave's Way.
I like the first one better.
United Day?
Yeah, that's better.
United.
Yeah, it seems a little too. Much. United Dave sounds better.
Man, hey, if you got a framework that works, you got a framework that works. Takeaways. Give folk, like, if you're talking directly to somebody that you know needs some game right now, give them the takeaways.
Yeah. One thing is, don't lose heart. I know that that's something that we didn't really get to talk about too much, but the idea that, like, I have been in my company for 4 years and we just launched what we consider to be a good starting product literally in February. So, like, don't lose heart. Keep going, keep moving, keep driving, and keep learning skills. I mean, keep learning the people around you. No matter how late you get into the game, when you're in a new area, get into it, learn it, grow from it. Be more like David, join his cult.
I don't know.
I don't know if I want any association to that. Right? What was dude name in Waco, Texas? What his name, Dave, too, or something? Like, I don't know. Right.
So no one has done that before, but there are people that have done similar things, and that's the best part. Which is also how I take opinion, my mentor's opinions of things, being like, I'm asking your advice, not your permission.
I think that's a great handle in the conversation. Well, that mic is smoking.
I would just say, push yourself outside your comfort zone and just meet people maybe you wouldn't have talked to before. I think that opens up, again, different reference points to just better understand where talent can come from and what's possible. That's two ways. Whether or not you're seeking employment or employing someone else, I think you'll be able to open up your mind a little bit. And then people are just getting started. Just start. I think don't wait until you have the perfect plan. Just start walking and stuff happens. Like, it's kind of funny that's how it works. But like, entrepreneurship is energy. There's a big concept of momentum in this space. Momentum is generated by movement, right?
Energy,
If you're just sitting there trying to figure out the perfect plan, you're not creating the energy for things to get going. Yeah, maybe take a second, make that plan, but doesn't need to be perfect. Go execute, and then just let the feedback come, and then you'll get going.
I love that.
So just get going is what I'd say. Just do it.
I think that's some religious words right there. Having action without reflection or something like that is dead or something. So, what do you have? The big dog. I got you. I got you. It's huge. That's huge.
So once I realized, it doesn't matter if I'm 22, 25, I started hanging out with folks who were 45, 55, talking to them.
Holding your own.
5 years ago, I wish I had started where you are right now. Nobody pulled me aside.
Shit, I said that to you.
And then you're going to lose a lot of people along the way because you're not going to have time to be just chilling at the movies.
Right. I'm a boss. You got to boss up. You got to boss up. Just so we make things clear, just so we can make things clear, this was just morphing time. So, guys, I'm going to give you the morphing time after the fact because it would just roll right into it. But if I can ask one thing else before we go, is can we give a shout out to Megan McNally for letting us use the Foundry? And I apologize for not being here early with Agua or Aguacate. Right, man. I was too busy. I was in the sky. I was too busy flying around saving lives, man. Fry-yay. But if you could just give a shout out, you know what I'm saying, to Megan in the Foundry, you know what I mean? And Emma. Emma is the Foundry OG, you know what I mean? And I had to coordinate last minute because I'm like, oh, shit, we do got the round table tomorrow. But I don't know if y'all got a chance to meet Megan before. She's awesome. She's incredible. This split. Were you able to get a tour? Oh man, well, I gotta get y'all a tour. This place is incredible. I just get a lot of creative energy just being here. It's a great community partner to have. So I wanna thank y'all for coming from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate y'all coming out, giving y'all some time on y'all Friday. I wanna thank Sonya for coordinating it because it would have never happened if she hadn't have done it because I usually right. Right. I usually stay in my small little side, right? You know what I mean? And this was a great way to explore Time Capsule with John a little bit more. And it was definitely a great way to learn about Dave and Arbor and all the amazing things that you're doing with both. So, and Sonya, you know, it's always good. I would love for the listeners to get a lot more of your presence, but you know, we got to do it just like that. And, yeah, man, I really appreciate y'all coming, and feel free any other time to come by. And if you ever need me for anything, know that my door is open. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So to my kings and queens, continue to light the way. To my gods and goddesses, continue to create life. And to my phoenixes, flame on.